Here we go. It's Teenage Rebel. Oh my goodness, we got the Avengers welcoming in Merle Becker. Sam, you want to just say hello to Merle? Merle, welcome to the Monday afternoon show.
Hey, Merle. Hey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Hi, guys.
Hey. All right. So psyched that you could be here with us today.
I'm excited.
So, yeah, that was the Avengers, which I think lead singer of that band appears in your film, Merle.
Yes, Penelope Houston is in the film and lent a song to the soundtrack as well. And she has a lot of really interesting things to say about the punk era and the 80s. I don't know, does your audience know anything about the film yet?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, maybe let's start off with if you could tell us a little about the film and also what inspired you initially to make it.
Well, the film, American Artifact, The Rise of American Rock Poster Art, is a sort of a chronology of the history of rock posters in America. And we had it divided into roughly three sections. The first part is the 60s rock posters, and the middle section is about the 80s rock flyers, and then the last section is 90s to present. And it turns out there was a huge rock poster, underground rock poster scene going on, probably still going on now. The film was finished a couple years ago, but I'm assuming those guys are still doing it at this point. And I was inspired because I was in a bookstore and I just came across this book called The Art of Modern Rock, and it was this huge coffee table book of, like, just filled with brightly colored, really kick-ass cool rock posters. And I was just all blown away because I had no idea that, A, rock posters were still being made, B, you know, how popular it was. There's a site called Gig Posters where all the rock poster artists would kind of like talk about their work and organize events and, you know, kind of gather. And I just had no idea any of this was going on, and the art was so cool. I just felt like somebody needed to make a film about it and showcase some of this work because it was amazing and relatively unknown. So that's how I got into the film. That's how I started it.
Wow. Wow, so yeah, I feel like, you know, I've attended a few other screenings and you know, I've enjoyed the film every time I've seen it, and I feel like, to what you just said, it's almost sort of a documentary of your own personal journey. Like, how long did it take you to make the film, and what was, I feel like you were sort of crisscrossing the country, in order to make this, and what were some of your challenges in making it?
Well, this is true. I inserted myself into it because I found that, you know, when I started it, it was just going to be a straight chronology. You know, this happened then, this happened then, this happened then. And as I was getting into it, I was finding fundraising for the project was really difficult. It basically was self-funded, so which kind of parallels the life of the rock poster artist, you know?
It's, yeah.
A lot of them would just volunteer to make the posters and then, you know, hope they would sell at the show or hope they would sell online, and, you know, of course, with the band's permission. So it was sort of along the same lines, like, well, I'm going to make this film because I really believe in it. I will put the money up front and then just, you know, hope it gets screenings and sell DVDs and... You know, sure enough, it did. It's shown in, I think, 32 states. The funny thing is, like, as you mentioned, actually, when you called me, you're like, you know, it's screening in Athens, Greece, after screens in Athens, New York. So, in a couple months, we have a screening in Athens, Greece. But it's shown all around the world, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's really gotten, you know, it's kept its legs for quite a while. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why I kind of included my own journey. And to answer your question, the biggest challenge was definitely money. I worked a couple, you know, I work in television. I'm an editor, so I was working two and three jobs at a time just to save up enough so I could take off chunks of time to travel around the country and interview these rock co-stars. So, you know, I basically work some god-awful reality show for a while and then take off, you know, take off a month or so and, you know, do a couple interviews and then go back to work and then, you know, go along that path. And it was about 4 years, I think, from beginning to end.
Wow. Wow. That's great. Yeah, yeah. It's like the same DIY spirit as the artists and the musicians involved, really, that drove you. I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was fun. You know, it's definitely one of my favorite experiences in this life that we live.
Yeah, I love that the movie keeps going. It keeps having a life of its own somehow out there. That's
this is true. Yeah. The gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like one part, I don't want to be too much of a spoiler because, you know, hopefully people will feel like coming to the screening tomorrow in Athens at Crossroads. But I think one part that's really interesting that I related to is in the section about the punk scene and people who were making flyers, and how that was really at that time also a kind of a form of communication on the streets, you know, pre-internet and pre-Facebook and everything, of how people in the underground scenes were communicating. And I love that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it's not only limited to the 80s. I mean, if you look at even in the 60s, you know, with the Vietnam War, a lot of the rock poster artists and the music that was playing at the Fillmore and the kids that were going to these shows, that was sort of like a language for them, too, you know? They would see these symbols on the rock posters hanging around San Francisco, like a peace sign or a dove, which was, back then, it was kind of a radical thing to put on a poster. And you know, kids who were of that mindset, you know, who were maybe anti-war or, you know, not agreeing with what was going on in the government, they would see the posters and they would be like, I'm going to check out this show. And they would go to the show and find their tribe. Much like the 80s, you know, the same thing with the punk flyers.
Yeah,
it was, you know, Reaganomics and big businesses and MTV was taking over, and the place for these punk bands was shrinking in the social conversation. It was being taken over by only the big corporations that could afford the advertising. So it was kids would make their own stuff for their own shows and go to the shows and find the people that they related to and, you know, the voice that they were speaking. So, and even in the 90s, a little, you know, not so much the 90s, but, you know, I would say the 60s and the 80s was more, you know, speaking language, but a little bit in the 90s. I mean, you had silk screening, and I mean, you know, I kind of hesitate to use this example, but Shepard Fairey with his Obama, Hope poster, and it's still sort of relevant, except that now we have the internet, and you can just hop on Facebook and find the group of, you know, your fellow resistors and do it that way. But yeah, back then it was super important, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that brings up, did we already touch on this, Merle, like the time period that your movie covers?
Say it again?
Did we already touch on the time period that your movie covers?
Well, the film was finished in 2009, so it's kind of like anything that's really happened after that, obviously didn't cover, but it was basically 60s to, you know, present day, and because, you know, it's, obviously there's so many amazing artists, there was no possible way to cram everybody in there, but, you know, I did my best to pick out who I thought was the most representative of each era.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of ground to cover. I think it's a remarkable job that you ended up with.
Thank you.
Well, So what do you think? Will there be a sequel?
There should be, because it's obviously the political scene is so heated and so controversial right now, and I'm sure that some of these artists that I visited during the film, I'm sure they're making some really rad poster art that reflects, you know, opinions about this presidency and this administration. After the film finished, I had a baby and I took a little bit of time off, and I've kind of been removed from it. But, you know, if there's anybody out there listening that needs a great idea for a documentary, I bet there's really good political posters being made as we speak. So
yes,
there should be a sequel. I can't do it right now, but I pass it on to any able filmmaker who who's listening and wants to carry the torch.
That's great, Merle. Yeah, I know. Do you want to mention maybe a little bit about some of the resistance work that you're doing? I know you've been very, very busy.
Sure. Well, like I said, I had a baby, so she's four now, and I've kind of been home taking care of her the last couple years. But, you know, I've been still pretty passionate and pretty opposed to what's going on now in the government. I do host a number of resistance sites and action sites on Facebook, one of which, well, let's see, we have, for anybody that's interested in getting nonstop political rants, I'm at Merle Talk on Twitter. But one of the strongest resistance groups, we post one action a day. It's super quick, super easy. It's spelled out for you. There are scripts, there's numbers, there's names of people to call, and there's a wide variety of topics ranging, you know, it's easy to just call about healthcare every day, but the group and Kate Gordon, who does a lot of does most of them, is really great at isolating, you know, groups that really need help on a daily basis, like focusing on a different group. But that group is the Nasty Women Action. It's facebook.com/ Nasty Women Action. And, of course, Nasty Women, the name coming from what Trump called Hillary. So that explains. We're all very nice, but that's the name of our group. So if you're interested in getting a daily action that is super easy, super quick, you'll feel good that you at least did something, one thing a day, that's a great one that I'm involved in.
Excellent.
The other ones, there's an Indivisible Newberg, but that one's a secret group because some people aren't, you know, because of their job or their family or whatever. You know, you can't expect everybody to be out front and center, you know, being outspoken about stuff. So there's a couple secret ones, too. The Indivisible Newberg is secret. And indivisibleactually.com is a great resource for anybody who's interested in starting their own resistance group in their town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is important to be making these calls and stuff, but, you know, maybe what is more important is getting together locally on a local level and influencing your representatives, getting together, showing up, protesting, marching, you know, getting out of there, getting out from behind your computer screen and actually doing something. So in the Indivisible Guide actually has a really great outline of, like, what you can do if you want to set up a group in your town. So
that's
that
great.
I would highly recommend as well.
Yes, thanks. Thank you, Merle.
Sure.
Wow. Well, I feel like it all relates really to that work you're doing and to telling the story about the underground rock poster artists and the bands, and it's just all related. I think it's great, great work you're doing. And
Thank you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's do you want to mention once more about the screening tomorrow?
Sure. First of all, I also want to thank. There's a screening at Crossroads Brewery, which is in Athens, 21 2nd Street, Athens. Doors open at 4, film starts at 7, and they have great brews there and food, and it's going to be awesome. I'm so sad that I can't make it, but I know that it's going to be a good time. And I want to also thank Richard Stockton for putting the whole thing together. And, of course, you, Sam, and Kieran also for having me on the show. And just to let you know, the film's website, if you need any more information about the film, is AmericanArtifactMovie.com. That's AmericanArtifactMovie.com. There's movie posters and extra scenes and all that good stuff on there.
Yes.
And I think that's it. I think I've plugged everything I can possibly plug in 5 minutes.
That's really, really great. Merle, thank you. Thank you for being on the show and for doing the work that you do. And this isn't just about artifacts and history and a time bygone. I think you alluded to the fact that the resistance actually continues into today, that it's actually more important today, that in a time of like grave technological sort of complacency of the masses, we're in a time where the stakes are almost even higher. And listening to you, I get inspired because it sounds like you're pretty upbeat. And I'm hoping that maybe with your youngest little one, that you have faith and hope in the new generation to really carry this revolution into the high stakes times we live in. And so I just want to give a plug for revolution while we're at it too.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Kieran. I think we can do it. It's going to be tough, but the truth will overcome.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, we're bringing back truth, right?
Exactly. Making it in style.
All right. Well, rock on, Merle. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right. Have a great rest of your Monday, Merle, and thanks again.
All